Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy, your most favoritest Grey's Anatomy podcast in all the land. I am your best friend host, Kelsey.
And I am your other best friend host, Kelsey.
Oh.
wait, nope, I'm Carmen. Just kidding. No, I'm Carmen. And it is a beautiful day to podcast. And, you know, usually, since we've started this podcast, it's been the winter over here. But in Chicagoland, but it was 70 degrees today. So it really was, It really is a beautiful day to podcast.
Wasn't there snow on the ground like a week ago?
Yeah, like literally yesterday there was snow on the ground.
Cute.
And in some places there still is snow. So I'm not going to say it's gone. It's just gone, but never forgotten. Rest in peace. Snow.
R.I.P. Okay, this is what I want. Sorry.
There you go.
Trying to make sure the iPad doesn't just shut off on me so I can have my notes.
Yeah, we don't want that. Also, if you've listened to the last couple of episodes, there's been some I've edited it nicely, but there may be glitches where you're like, something sounds inconsistent, or there looks like there sounds like a gap there. You're right. People decide they want to phone call me or FaceTime me in the middle of recording, and I am someone who uses my phone and my Mac together, so when you call me, it rings on the Mac and it disrupts anything in GarageBand. So thank you, Kelsey, for reminding me to put my phone on airplane mode so no one can disrupt me.
Also, shout out to Ryan, who said he tried to tell Kayla not to call you last week, but she did it anyways.
Shout out, Ryan. Thank you. Kayla, you're dead to me for five minutes.
Aggression.
That's a microaggression.
Okay, maybe. Yeah, okay, so should we talk about Grey's Anatomy?
No.
Oh.
Oh my gosh, what a yawn. It's been a long day. We're recording at like 2:00 in the morning right now.
Right, how am I even awake? That would be a miracle. Also, I got a fun new thing, so I'm just gonna periodically for no reason whatsoever, so everyone get excited for that.
Are you gonna try to line it up when I swear?
Only if it's going to be blatantly obvious that you're about to swear, which it normally is, but sometimes it's not, so I don't know.
Well, but here's the thing, it's not gonna be on my line, so the swear's still gonna go through. It's gonna be the swear and the beep are gonna be together, so you can only do it for yours.
Yeah, that's true. I can just beep on top of you swearing.
Test it right now. Say you motherfucker.
You motherfucker.
It's so good. It sounds so funny.
I'm sure this thing does like a million other things as well. That's just like the only thing that I know that it does. So
it's so, that sounds so good. I love it.
Okay. Anyways. Okay. So Grey's Anatomy. Woohoo. Thanks for tuning in. This episode of Grey's Anatomy is episode 24 overall. It is the 15th episode of the second season, and it is titled Break On Through, which is a song by The Doors.
It's true. Let me tell you all about this song, all about The Doors, with the extensive research and extensive listening that I've done to this song. Now, here's the thing. The Doors are not one of my favorite bands, but it is worth mentioning that they're kind of a staple of the 60s. So I automatically like them because of it. So Break On Through, in parentheses, To the Other Side, written by The Doors, part of the debut album in 1967, The Doors, it was the title. It was released under Elektra Records, and Break On Through was the group's first single. Now, it didn't have any charting critical acclaim in the US. It got as high as 126. So it didn't break the Billboard Hot 100, but it did get into the 200 scale. But it became a staple. And if you know The Doors, like you pretty much know that song. But it was released on January 1st, 1967. And it's under the genre psychedelic rock, so we haven't had many of those, but the one of the song that got more fame off of that was Light My Fire, which, you know, again, if you know The Doors, you know that song as well. But In the UK, it peaked at number 64 on the UK charts. So definitely more critical acclaim in the UK than the US, but overall a good song. And I was trying to think of how this song would relate to the episode. And in hindsight, there's nothing that really stood out to me. When I think of the title break on through, I was thinking, okay, maybe it's going to be a breaking point between Meredith and Derek where she's like, okay, you know what? He's not McDreamy anymore. He's just Derek. Plot twist, this episode.
The opposite of that.
The fucking worst. You know who had a really good episode? George.
Everybody else. Yeah. Honestly, like everybody else. Like George, Izzy, people I normally loathe, except for Derek. I still hated him this time, but...
Can I just, I know that we're, I don't want to jump ahead because this is, you haven't even given me the producers yet and the viewership, but that scene in the closet.
Yeah.
Fucking stupid. Yep. Stupid. Dumb.
Yeah. Anyways. I'm pretty sure I wrote something just like that. So.
Scathing.
So that's fun. Okay. So yes, this was written by Zoanne Clack, who has... written other episodes for us, directed by David Paymer. It aired January 29th, 2006 to 18.44 million views. And the Netflix synopsis is: the nurses go on strike, leaving the doctors to fend for themselves just as a new chief resident takes over for Bailey. So that's fun.
Meredith is forced to kill someone that she tried to keep alive.
Yes. There is drama. We find out a shit ton about Izzy that we weren't expecting to find out.
Oh, listen. I called it a mile away. I knew it. This episode was so predictable. Fuck.
Okie dokie. Well, then let's just get right into it, I guess.
Yeah, let's do this.
Okay, so we start with the recap. Bailey's pregnant.
Yes.
Ellis has Alzheimer's. They gave their dog to Derek. Izzy grew up in a trailer park and was a model. And the nurses are on strike.
So I wrote down here, will we get a new resident? Which we did. Mm-hmm. Is Ellis coming back? Which she did. Mm-hmm. And heck yeah, Izzy's modeling. But that had nothing to do with the episode. She was just hot.
So, yeah, we start. The nurses are on strike. George is having mixed emotions about crossing the picket line because he wants to be supportive. But he also wants to doctor. So he's just conflicted. Christina comes. They're nervous to cross. Christina goes. They throw food at her. And then Izzy goes and they throw food at her. And then Olivia yells something and Izzy says, enjoy your syphilis, Olivia, which is actually pretty funny.
It's very funny. And I enjoyed
it immensely. Then we see that Meredith is visiting Ellis. Richard is there.
Yeah.
There's touching.
They were they're about to have sex right there on the floor.
They're very flirty, for sure.
There's vibes.
It's very, very visibly... sexually tense.
Well, you initially see her, you see Ellis touching Richard.
Right.
And then you see Richard touch her back.
Like,
and that's when I was
her hand full on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, dang, there's some moods here. But I was not expecting her to not talk to him. I thought she was going to go up to them and say, hi. What's going on here?
Hey, what the fuck? I mean, sorry. Hey, what the...
That was good.
Okay, so then we go back to the hospital. They've got temp nurses. They're trying to, give them the rundown. And then Patricia, love her. Such a good Patricia episode. The doctors are like, oh, you can't do anything. And she's like, do you know why I stopped being a nurse? Because of doctors. I was like, that cracks.
Savage. It's a great line. He also said, he's like, okay, we don't have the $2 million to afford the 40 nurses that they would need to cover the overtime. Mm-hmm. That math boils down to $50,000 a year. So even with 15 years of inflation, that can't be right.
Maybe they have some money for extra nurses, but to hire enough to cover everything, they need also in addition $2 million.
Got it. That would make sense.
That's what we'll have to assume. We can also assume that they didn't think their viewership was going to do the math to check them on that.
I'm an investor, so I have to check all the math.
You're an investor in this hospital?
Yeah. The medical field in general, I invest into medical tech. It's called Amazon.
On Amazon?
It's called Apple. Hey, fitness tech. Apple has fitness tech and health tech, so I'm an investor in the health field. Yeah.
This is not investment advice for legal reasons.
Yeah, for legal reasons, what you could do is just send us money through, you know,
whatever you want, thing. And then we'll just Venmo do whatever we want with it.
Yeah, we'll invest in the podcast.
Yeah, invest in being our friend by giving us money. Okay, so they're trying to figure out like who their new resident's going to be. And then she shows up and her name is Sydney and she is like the most opposite of Bailey. And it's very funny.
In
this moment.
Right.
She hugs Christina and Christina says, ow. And she said, am I hurting you? And Christina says, no, you're touching me, which is so funny to me.
That is a good Christina line.
And then, here's what I don't understand is why Izzy's copying an attitude. Cause this woman is literally just Izzy later on. Like, I don't understand why Izzy's like, I don't like this. Like, this is you, you are this person
later on. So she becomes more bubbly.
No, I'm just saying like later on in her career, like, cause Sydney's a fourth year.
Oh, right. Totally. Yeah. It was interesting how bubbly she was. And then also you don't hug when you meet someone in any professional workplace. But I did think the line where she says, we heal with love. I thought, it's a nice sentiment, but it's bullshit.
So yes, what were your initial impressions of her in this moment?
Here's the thing. I looked at her and I thought, okay. Not looked at her. I listened to what she was saying and I was like, okay. But this, she's a doctor, so there has to be some sort of cutthroat in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what it's going to look like. But immediately I was like, okay, you see Alex kind of worming his way around there, which is, you know, funny. I think it's hilarious. But I knew that there had to be something cutthroaty about her, but I just didn't know what it was going to look like. And when it did come out, I was not expecting that whole situation to go down the way it did. But yeah,
I had I haven't rewatched this episode in a long time because I don't particularly find anything pertinent about it. Like, it's fine, but whatever. And so I was like, just a lot of things that went down. I was like, is this really what these characters would do? Like, I'm confused. So, but we'll get there when we get there. So, yeah, so there go. Alex and Christina go to the ER, and that couple's like rolling all over each other.
About to fuck.
Yeah, and they're on their honeymoon, and she has like a flesh eating virus, basically. But at this point, all we know it's a rash. Sorry, spoilers.
When they do finally show the leg, I was like, that looks like necrotizing fasciitis.
Yeah,
and then later on, I was like, oh, I'm a fucking doctor, because I am.
For legal reasons, Carmen's not a doctor. wait, say that you're a doctor.
I'm a doctor! Oh, wait, no, it doesn't work when I say it.
No, it works. It's going to sound great.
Okay. It's just going to sound like I'm yelling doctor over a beeping noise.
This is fun for everybody, right?
I need this. I'm going to add this to my Amazon cart right now. Jessica, I don't care what you say.
Do you ever?
Yes, I do. I do care. 52. One time she called me handsome and I cared that she said that.
Oh, okay. Okay, so then Meredith comes across that old lady who is very much in need of assistance because she's dying because she's a million.
George. Make it, wait, say that again, but like add a swear and then add the button.
Because she's like a f***ing million.
It's so good.
Okay, this brings me so much joy. To everyone who doesn't think this is as funny as we do.
I don't.
Well, it's probably not going to stop. Okay, so George is being supportive of the nurses. Then that nursing student comes in to help Meredith, and she's like has absolutely no idea. Like, she's so clueless. She's like, I don't know what medicine is.
Well, Meredith was like, are you a nurse? And she's like, well, I'm like a nursing student. What an idiot.
Yeah,
yes, like, you're a nurse.
I'm concerned that you're in this hospital. Are you allowed to be here? Like, is there an adult that knows where you are?
Wait, it's okay though. It's a teaching hospital.
Yeah, ain't nobody teaching her. Okay, then Meredith intubates the patient.
Wait, pause. We skipped over something important.
The intro?
No.
Oh.
Was that the intro? I didn't even write down where the intro was. I completely forgot.
It was it there? 7 minutes exactly, but I don't remember where it was.
Olivia still likes George.
You think so?
I do. The way she was looking at him, eyeing him, and he grabbed that picket sign, she's like, oh yeah, take the syphilis back from me, Georgie.
That's not how syphilis works. Was this the episode that was the deadline for Meredith and George? Izzy to sleep together? Meredith and Izzy to sleep together? Izzy and George to sleep together?
I think so. Great. Yeah. I was like, Daylight Meredith and Izzy. Time
is doing a great job with me, guys. We're really thriving over here.
Yeah, so apparently there's a possibility that I was wrong about my guess.
Was it this episode? I can't remember if it was 15 or 16.
I don't remember.
What was the... Hold on.
It might be this episode or the next episode. I can't remember. Did I say three episodes from the mid-season recap?
Four.
Oh, then we got time.
Which was... Begin, sweet little... Okay, so next episode.
Okay, so next episode, they're gonna smush.
I don't want to give away spoilers, but I am literally so excited for the next episode. My brain... Yeah. I cannot tell you how many people that we are friends with that are rewatching this that I have texted to talk about how excited I am.
Are they excited to listen to my hot takes and recaps?
Well, they're excited for you to just experience it with us all the way that we all experienced it.
So even Jessica, who is now on season 10, right? She's like, oh wait, is this the episode that I need to sit and watch with you? And I was like, I don't know. And she's like, okay. She's like, and then she's no, she thought the last one was, so we watched the last one together too. But it's this one. She's like, oh no, next one.
Yep.
She wants to watch it tonight. And I think that I would rather wait to try to figure out a way to watch it and then immediately record afterwards.
Yeah, we should definitely try to record as soon as you watch it. But also, I'm going to make you wait a week to watch the next one because that's the way that it aired.
That's fine. I'm committed. I'm committed to this show, everyone. I don't double watch. I'm committed to your experience living this through my eyes vicariously through me.
So, yeah, we're trying. I told Carmen that for some of the episodes that like aired as 2-hour, 2-part episodes, we'll watch together and then just like record, but split it into half because it'll be super long. So we'll split it in half to 2 episodes when we release the episodes. But for things like the next 2 weeks where also if you've watched Grey's, you for sure know what we're talking about. But you like... We're going to watch it and then he's going to wait a week and then he's going to watch the next one because that's what we all had to do. And he's going to suffer through it like the rest of us had to before the invention of Netflix and Hulu and DVRs.
Yeah. And so also like I'm committed to this, not just with this show. I'm also, shout out to you, Kelsey. I'm almost done. We're almost all done with Ted Lasso.
Oh my God. Ted Lasso is so good.
It's so good. Shout out.
It's like the anti-Grace. Like there's very little drama and like it just makes you feel good. Like every episode makes you feel so good. But there are some moments where I was literally like my jaw was on the floor at certain points.
We I work with someone who is a huge fan and has seen all the episodes. And I was talking to him about it, and I was like, hey, can you just tell me this? And he's like, do you really want to know? And I was like, no. Because I don't like the spoilers.
Did Jessica but I will tell you, immediately look up everything that happened?
Yeah, she did. Actually, I don't know if she has. I don't know if she has yet. But before we jump back into Grey's, can I just tell you that we're at the point right now where Nate just saved the game when Ted had a panic attack in the middle of the final match.
Yeah.
And also we saw that Rebecca and Sam were talking on banter. But that's where we're at. I don't need you to
spoilers
respond,
for
but that's
Ted Lasso.
Yeah, go back in time. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Here, let me just edit that so it's over what you just said.
Anyways, back to Grey's Academy, the Grey's Anatomy podcast. We are written by Shonda Rhimes.
Okay, so Addison and Izzy are working together, which I'm confused.
Is it Shonda or Chandra?
Shonda. It's Shonda. Shonda Rhimes. Chandra Wilson is who plays Bailey with a CH and then an RA at the end. And then Shonda Rhimes with an SH and no R. So it's can get them confused sometimes, those
Got
names.
It.
Okay, so Addison and Izzy are working on the pregnant girl, Cheyenne, and her baby has like a tumor on her neck, something. But I feel like they just don't address the fact that now Izzy's just fine with Addison. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, literally last episode she was still being annoying about it, and then this episode they're just like, okay, I guess.
Well, they're not really talking to each other. They're just working together.
Yes, but even when they were working together previously, Izzy was being a dumb hoe. Like, she was just being stupid about it still.
Maybe she's throwing herself into her work.
She probably should. Anyways, so Addison is doing the work for free because she's a freaking angel. And I love her so much. And what were you? So you said it was predictable. So at what point did you predict it?
Okay. So in this moment, I thought something bad was going to happen to the baby.
Okay.
Which I was wrong. But
thankfully,
there was at one point where she was like, 9 months goes by so fast. And Izzy was like, 9 months does go by so fast. And I was like, Izzy gave up a baby. Izzy had a baby she gave up. And I wrote that. And then later on when she showed her the picture, I was like, oh, fuck. I knew it.
I was rewatching it and I was like, this really comes out of left field. Because like,
yeah,
episode wise, like in the episode, obviously, like they're building it up. But before this episode, there's like nothing that would indicate that this has happened. Okay, so then we cut to Meredith and the chief in the hallway, and she's like, oh, I saw my mom this morning. And he's like, oh, how is she? Tell her I said hello.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, Weber, so you're just gonna lie like that, huh?
We just pretending we weren't there, but we were there.
Oh, man.
So then Christina and Alex are checking on the rash, and they're like, oh, we made a line, and if it goes over the line, we know it's bad. And then like 2 minutes later, it's over the line. But Sydney comes and she's there and she's like annoying Christina, which is understandable personality wise but like, you know, I love Christina, I live and die by her, but like, this was a confusing episode for me because I really, like, I kind of understood where she was coming from because I'm like, she truly believed she was right. But it also didn't super make sense to me from a Christina standpoint. As a Christina stan, especially when Alex was like, oh, well, this is a cooler surgery. And I was like, that's like a very Christina thing to say. So it was just really weird to me that that's how it played out. I don't know.
I think that her, and I could be wrong, right? But maybe her hatred for this person's first impression, like the fun, bubbly, like hands-on personality, she hated so much that it didn't matter. This woman could have literally said, chop the leg off right now, and Christina would have thought the opposite. No, you have to save the leg, right? So it could have been anything. But that's my thought process is no matter what, whatever this person said she would have been against because she didn't like this first impression or it didn't live up to whatever standard she had in her head of a Bailey replacement.
Maybe I just, because I thought she said something about amputating before Sydney said anything about saving the leg. And so that's why I think that might be wrong, but it just like, the only justification I have is when she tells Burke, she's like, I'm not used to being wrong because she's such like a type A personality and she's got, I don't know if they've said this yet, but they'll say it at some point. She has her MD and a PhD. And so like she's very smart. Like there's no denying that she's smart, but it's just like really weird. I don't know. I just thought it was strange the whole way everything played up because she also still like there is a hierarchy in the medical field. And she up to this point has mostly been very respectful of that other than like the few times that like lines have been crossed with Burke. But like even when she hates Derek, she like listens to what he says. She'll just also be like, you're a shit person in the elevator. But yeah, I would definitely say there's no respect. Like she doesn't have respect for Sydney as a person. Cause I guess she thinks you can't be nice and smart. I don't know. But it just was weird to me that she was like, so like arguing about it right in front of the patient's husband. And then B, that she was like so obsessive. And then she went like, it's one thing to be like, she disagrees with me to go to Burke and say, she's trying to kill the patient. Like that's a leap. So this was just a really like, and like I said, I haven't watched this one much. And so I just remembered it super different. And I really couldn't tell. I'm like, are the writers trying to get us to like Sydney or not like Sydney? Cause originally I remember never liking Sydney and watching this one. I was like, I mean, yeah, I probably wouldn't want to hang out with her, but I don't dislike her. Like, it was confusing to me.
Yeah. Well, here's my thoughts. I did not get any vibes that the writers were trying to make us not like, is it Sydney or Cindy?
Sydney.
Like Australia. Yeah. Shout out Australia who loves listening to us. So I actually really liked her character.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't because that she was like this goofy, bubbly person that I thought was going to be the butt of jokes. I like that they have someone who is now a superior character, an authoritative figure,
mm-hmm.
who is totally the opposite of every single person in the show, really.
Yeah.
The closest person is Izzy, and she's also had an arc the opposite direction from what we've seen in the beginning. So the other thing that I really enjoyed was the way that they wrote Burke defending her, right? Like Burke went in, was ready to throw down, and she's like, what did she say? Like the bimbo cheerleader, peppy bimbo cheerleader, right? And then later on, I think the line that seals it for me of, I actually felt like the writers want us to like Sydney was, I've never once gone in and questioned another surgeon in their OR.
Yeah.
And then he talks about how this is why attendings and interns don't date or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so they're really painting Christina as the one very in the wrong.
Yeah.
So that was my interpretation of having to like Sydney.
Wasn't in the wrong for sure. But like, I don't know. I just remember this all playing out differently, I guess. Or I just remember not liking Sydney, but probably because I've never really liked Izzy and they're very similar. And I also love Bailey so much. And obviously they write her to be a huge contrast to that. But yeah, I think the way they wrote everything and like the resolution I really enjoyed. And I like what it brought to light for Burke and Christina individually and together. I just thought it was like, while it was happening, I was like, would Christina do this? Cause that's where I was like, I understand the aspect of her attaching herself to an idea and me like, no, this is right. There's literally like, she's just so black and white with things like that. I just don't really, cause she's also like very into the cutting edge surgery type things. And clearly this worked, So I don't know. I just like was just back and forth on it a lot. I couldn't really figure out like what the situation was.
You do bring just so we don't spend the entire episode talking about this one scenario, this one interaction. You bring up a really good point. Like, I didn't even think about that. Like, would Christina really prioritize the person over the cool ass procedure she's about to get her name on and experience with?
Yeah.
Because Alex is totally in line. Alex is in character. He's conniving. He's sucking up. He's brown nosing.
He's playing the game.
Right. And Christina doesn't play the game, but she would have been like, oh yeah, I went on the surgery. Totally. Let's do that. That's great.
I mean, she may have been like, oh, I want to do some research on it or something like that. But this is not an unheard of surgery. Sydney is not off the, like, just out of nowhere being like, oh, I'm going to invent this surgery right now. Like, she says this surgery exists and we can try it. And then she says, like, if it doesn't work, then I'll amputate. But I don't know. Yeah, we're spending a lot of time on this. Anyways.
It's a great topic. And I called the necrotizing fasciitis a mile away because I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm genius. Genius doctor. That's me.
Yeah, when she's like, oh, I cut my foot on oysters. I'm like, you should have gone to the doctor. that's a big deal.
Yeah. Cuts and head hits. Go to the doctor. You hit your head, you cut yourself, go to the doctor. Just do it.
Yeah. Just especially if you cut yourself like on a living creature that's known for being full of bacteria and grossness.
Or a rusty spoon of sorts.
Yes. Also get tetanus shots. Those are important. okay. Okay. So.
So we're at Meredith, the scene. Okay.
Goes. Yeah. Okay. So this is when Meredith is like, oh, I miss Doc. How's Doc? And Addison's like, you should come visit. And she's like, I'm leaving. And I was like, I hate you. And then Addison tries to talk to Derek because they're married. And Derek's like just annoyed that she's speaking to him. And I wrote, Derek, for the love of God, just like your wife, please. It's just so simple. Everyone else loves her. Can you just?
Yeah, I wrote when he was like, when Derek was like, your dog is fine. And I was like, fuck you, Derek. It's your dog. You took this on.
Yeah.
No one forced you to do this dumb, idiotic idea that you had.
I hate him so much. And then we're back out with the nurses and they're giving all George, they're all the info. And it's actually pretty cute. Cause they're like, there are patients too. We still care about them. We're just like trying to do this, which, I like that they kind of like give that dimension to it because it definitely makes sense. And I appreciate that. And then Alex and Christina are working on the rash. They figure out, they get the call that it's necrotizing fasciitis and they have to shut down the ER or the OR rather. Meredith intubated that lady on hospice and they find her and they're like, yeah, she has a DNR. And then all her old lady friends are really mad. And I love these old ladies. They are so funny. It's such like an easy, like nice, like well-written comic relief for the episode and very believable. I don't know if you hung out with old ladies ever, but this is pretty spot on how that would be.
I felt like this was two things. Number one, this is right out of your little small southern town in Chattanooga. These are your people. Mm-hmm. Also, this is the Aldi version of Golden Girls.
I was like, this is so reminiscent of Golden Girls. What a time. This is the OG Sex and the City reboot.
It's also sad though, because they're like, yeah, Lenny's dead. And she's like, no, she just saw him this morning. And she's like, yeah, she was leaning for the light, lady.
Yeah. She's seen him every time she's almost died. I honestly though, love how supportive they are. They're just like, can you let this, our best friend die, please? Like that's all she wants to do. And you are keeping her from her wish of death.
The Grim Reaper is literally standing in the corner there and you're telling him not to come do his job.
I just love them so much. I thought it was so funny. And then they're just like going through and talking about all the people they know that are dead. And I was like, I have been in the room for this exact conversation so many times and it's not funny, but it's hilarious.
Imagine when we're all 190 years old though. And the whole friendship group is like, yeah, Carmen died first. We all saw that coming.
Yes, we did. It's true.
I hope not. Oh my gosh. You're I don't want to kick the, like, get the ball rolling on death.
Look, I built this car. It goes to space.
Jeff Bezos invited me to space.
Please don't go to space with that man.
Yeah, Pete Davidson is for sure going to die in space. Did you see that?
Not going to die. Also, I'd leave Earth too if I was Pete Davidson. Anyways, that's another. Listen to our Pete Davidson podcast.
Shout out, dude. Thoughts.
Okay, so then. This is when George is going in to check on all the nurse's patients, and the chief catches him and tries to get him to do stuff, and he's like, no. And it's actually a very funny scene because he just keeps apologizing and saying no offense the whole time. I really liked the way they did all these scenes with George coming into the hospital. I thought they were very funny, and George was not annoying this episode.
And it was actually really good.
I was like, you know what? Zoanne Clack, you write this character in a very likable way, and I appreciate that.
Yeah,
this
every
is a George
time
I can get behind one that's not interacting with anyone other than patients and his superiors.
Well, even then, because he did not handle conversations with Burke or Derek well at all, but he just kept saying, "With all due respect, no offense, I'm a union man."
Yeah.
And then he runs away. It was kind of cute.
Way he just like turtles up and runs away. I think it's so funny. Mm. Okay. So then they're talking to the husband, and this is when we get the whole amputate, but Sydney and Alex are like, we know we're going to save it. And they have an argument, and we've already discussed that at length.
I did want to ask you one thing though.
Yeah.
So I was misunderstanding maybe, but they basically were saying that there's not enough time to take her out from anesthesia and get the consent and then put her back under. It could be too late.
Yeah.
So, and that's fine. I don't question the medical jargon there, the medical practice behind that. My question for you is, what would you do if it was your significant other? Like, you're choosing between that person being able to run or have one leg.
I would definitely say try to save it, but if you can't, take it off. But also, maybe I would just say take it off because it's not like Michael and I are hiking all the time or anything. And also, Michael thinks prosthetics are incredible. And he is actually like very into like, he wants to try and find a way to like volunteer and work with prosthetic stuff. He's very intrigued, especially since they started figuring out how to 3D print stuff. He thinks it's like the coolest thing ever. So it would be such an adjustment. Obviously it's like literally life changing, but I don't think, because we are not active, avid outdoorsy adventurers, I don't think he would be terribly distraught, because it would change his life, but not as much as it would probably change this woman's life. So, but my question was, I'm like, okay, but you're like scraping out her muscle. So like, the leg is still there, but like, how usable is it?
Yeah, I was also confused about that, but I'm wondering if there's a reconstructive surgery to rebuild the muscle, or
just like intensive like physical therapy was my assumption. But I was just like, this is still going to be like an insane recovery. So
maybe it involves a lot of running.
Probably.
So this next scene, though, with the little girl, though, that was where I originally was like, oh, yeah, Izzy for sure.
Because that's when Izzy is like, oh, you're reading Shakespeare to the baby. And then she's like, oh, do you have any plans? And she's like, no, I thought I would have longer. And I didn't want to, you don't want to be in school when you're in school, but then you can't go anymore. And Izzy's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Like, basically agreeing with everything. And I was trying to take myself out of it and be like, if I didn't know she was about to say that she had a baby, what I think she was about to say, she had a baby. And I was like, the 9 months thing for sure is a tell, because everything else I'm like, oh, you could kind of just be like, oh, she's just kind of being agreeable and trying to make this girl feel better. But the look, she like looks longingly into her past with her eyes. And she's like, yeah, it does go by fast.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's this bitch had a baby. So also, it's a sad metaphor, not metaphor. It's a sad illustration of the town that she's from.
Yeah.
Because it's a trailer park and she is a product of the system, but she got out.
Yeah.
And I know, jumping ahead a little bit to the conversation with Cheyenne's mom, it's like, is it possible that I'm privileged and I'm blah, 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 and I'm correct?
Yeah.
So I thought that was a really, really great culmination of scenes and arc for this character.
Yeah. Again, I think people, they could have even told this story in a way that made me annoyed with Izzy, but luckily the writers on this episode did an incredible job with making her, like, I did not feel that she overstepped. I felt that it was all just like genuine conversation relating to somebody, especially like being from the same place and all this stuff. So yeah, I didn't hate Izzy this episode, just a bit, or George. It's a big day. It's a big day on the Grey's Academy podcast.
Yeah. I think it speaks almost as much as me saying I didn't hate George as you saying you didn't hate Izzy.
Yeah.
I think that's intense.
We did both still hate Derek though. So
will the
day come when we hate none of them? Who's to say?
At this point, if he keeps treating Addison the way he is, it's going to take a lot for me to not be on the anti-Derek bandwagon, you fucker.
Yeah. You can fix that in post, right? Just put it on top of you cursing.
I probably could do that, but
yeah,
I'm just going to go ahead.
Could. We just both know that you will not.
No. I'm going to go ahead and buy this, though. I'm
going to
buy this
pay someone else to do it. Okay, so then Christina is like, they're in surgery and she's getting super salty with Sydney about amputating. And then one of my favorite moments is when Sydney says, "Why can't you be more like Alex?" And you cannot see Christina's face because she has her surgical mask on. But you just have to imagine the face that woman is making to be told, "Why can't you be more like Alex?"
And show compassion like him.
So funny. I just love it. And then she goes and tattles to Burke, which obviously I don't. And I wrote tattles. So I'm like, I am aware that Christina is flawed in this episode.
That's good.
That
that's really good.
I'm
proud of you.
I'm a Christina stan, but I did take, I was like, seriously? It's just like a bit much. And then Burke goes in and I appreciated the way that Sydney responded because she responded in a way that was still respectful to her superior, but also like took a stand for herself and her patient. And I wrote, she was kindly sassy and I'm here for it. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah, there was a lot of good one-liners in there. And again, I want to re-highlight the perky little bimbo cheerleader, which Christina for sure judged the book by its cover.
Yeah.
But when she wraps it all up and she's like, "Look, our eager young intern can hold the saw."
Yeah.
Right? And then Christina punches her way out of the room.
What I also like is when she tells Christina, she's like, "Okay, are you ready to scrub back in?" Like, a lot of surgeons would have been like, "Get out of my OR." And she asks her to scrub back in. Christina doesn't, because she doesn't like to be wrong or told no. And I just thought that said a lot about Sydney's character, is that she's just not denying Christina that educational moment of still being in there for the surgery.
Yeah. That's a really good point that I didn't think of. I saw it, but it didn't like click to me.
Yeah.
In that
you
way.
Just think, I mean, how many people have we already seen throw people out of the OR? It happens pretty regularly.
Yeah. She's not far enough in her career to have that much of an ego yet, apparently.
Yeah.
Or maybe she's just incapable. Maybe she's just really nice.
I mean, or she just knows she's right and she doesn't need to like make a show about it the way everyone else does.
Interesting.
Meredith and the chief are talking to the old ladies again and it's hilarious. They're like flirting with Richard. And then he's like, "No, we need the daughter to come in and like say that we can take her off life support." And they're like, "She's a lesbian." And they're like, "Well, that's still allowed, right? Like, she can still be in charge even though she's a lesbian." And I was like, this is terrible, but very 2006 old lady for sure.
Yeah. I even wrote that. I was like, yeah, who cares? Why?
Very 2006
Why does it matter?
Old lady. Have you watched the movie Don't Look Up yet? On Netflix?
No.
Okay.
No.
First of all, 10 out of 10. Suggest to everybody. Don't look up. It's so funny. It's on Netflix. But there is this terrible old military man who just says like the worst things, and he's like a million years old. And every time he says anything, everyone's just like, oh, he's from a different time. He's from another generation. And I'm like, I cannot deal with this. It's so, but that's what I was seeing. I was like, oh, they're from another time. So yeah, they're basically like, oh, she has to fly in from Oregon. So not too far, but a little far, to say that you can kill her mom, which is fun. What a fun reason to make someone fly. So then Izzy, we like just get a quick shot of her walking by her patient's room, and she kind of like looks at her reading her Shakespeare, and then she leaves. And then we get our fun scene at Joe's. So George is like celebrating with the nurses. They're all like thanking him and telling him they appreciate him. And then that nurse tries to start a fight with Christina and like pours a drink on her. And then Joe breaks them up and is like, you can't kill each other because there's no one left to stitch you all back together.
Yeah.
I thought it was a funny scene.
It's also, it's such, we've come such a long way because Alex was like, oh, get a drink for Nurse O'Malley over there.
Yeah.
And he's like, is that all you got?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's, is that supposed to offend me? And I'm like, man, imagine last season, George would have gone into a spiral like, oh, I'm a doctor. I'm not a nurse.
Yeah.
Meh. And it's nice that they wrote that level of confidence in him in this episode. And then, yeah, that nurse just goes and, oops, spills the drink right in Christina's
dumps
lap.
Dumps it on Christina's lap, which I'm like, okay, I do think that's a little uncalled for because no, you weren't involved in any way with what, like, each other's goings on. Like, Christina's just complaining, which I do think it's funny when she's like, I can't believe she said I was not compassionate in front of my boyfriend. I am so compassionate. And I just wanted to be like, are you, though?
Yeah, you're the opposite of compassion.
Like, you can care if people live or die and still not necessarily be compassionate, because I think compassion is kind of the way that you express that. And that is where I think there's a disconnect, in my opinion.
I agree. I agree. I think you're right.
And also, I think it's funny when Meredith and Christina do this thing where they're both complaining, but they're not talking to each other at all. They're just like talking at each other and like they're not interacting. They both are just having their own conversations with each other. And it's very funny to me. It happens pretty regularly in their relationship. So then Izzy gets up and goes back to the hospital to talk to Cheyenne. And this is when we get the big reveal. They're from the same area. Izzy tells her that she had a daughter and gave her up for adoption when she was born. Very good scene, very raw, pretty unexpected, like in a big picture kind of way. Again, the episode sets it up pretty clearly, but unexpected from what little we know about Izzy up to this point, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. It is interesting too, because I've made a note. I was like, man, life is hard for trailer park people. But it's interesting though, because the girl is clearly like educated, she's articulate,
driven.
She's in a loving household. It's just, you can have all of those things go right, but the system itself is stacked against you.
Yeah. Well, and it's also like when you have like the very strong family dynamic,
yes,
that can sometimes be like, well, you can't give away your baby because like this is our family, which I think is like a pretty common thing, trope specifically used in shows when it comes to teen pregnancy. They're like, well, you have to keep your baby because it's our family and I would never let you give up your family, like my grandchild, blah, blah, all this stuff. So it's like, I understand the sentiment is like, it's such a strong family bond, but at the same time, it's like, but what does that mean for everybody long term?
Yeah.
Does it repeat the cycle? Does it make it better? Does it make it worse? Is it what's best for mom? Is it what's best for baby? So, yeah, it's a whole
which
lot
we get
of
that scene later on.
Yeah. Okay, so then Christina gets home. Berg is playing the trumpet. He's upset about what happens to Sydney, and he says, I've never questioned another surgeon in their OR. You came to me as your boyfriend, and that's how I responded. And I've never understood the issue with interns dating attendings until today. And then Christina just like goes into the room because she's like, I can't
Well,
here's my thing. Like, I understand that she can go and tattle. No one made Burke do what he did. Like, yes, he responded that way, and that's fine. But I don't necessarily think it's fair for him to, like, blame her for the way that he reacted. Because there have been other times when she's asked him to do things, and he's said no. So that's kind of my opinion on that.
I didn't think he was blaming her. I think he was putting it out in the open. And yeah. If she happened to blame herself, then he wasn't going to feel bad about it. You know,
it just,
like,
doesn't seem like he's taking a lot of the responsibility.
Well, no. And then he also doesn't apologize later because he's like, I'm an attending. I don't apologize. which, yeah. Fine. Okay.
Is
all
it
right.
Though? Are you doing the thing where you're not going to fault him at all? You're not going to see any of his flaws?
No. I do believe that he is wrong. He should never have gone in there without the facts. And I think that personally, if it was me, I'd be like, look, it's not my surgery. Because he's also not, we don't have any idea to this point that he is teaching her or taking her under his wing in a mentor capacity. Right. Because walks in, they've never met. They're also, she's had said some quip about, like, yeah, I know you've never seen this before, because why would you? You're a cardiothoracic surgeon.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with you, right? Yeah. And I think it would be different if he had insight to the procedure, but he wasn't wrong to even approach that situation. But I did write down that I thought in that moment with that scene that he was questioning being with Christina.
Yeah. Which I'm like, again, the thing that's making you question it is something that you did. So is this fair?
No, it's not. But it's natural. I understand why he's questioning it, but I'm not. It's not fair.
I'm not against the conversation. I'm against the presentation of the conversation.
I'm with you. I can agree on that.
It just feels to me like he's blaming her for his own actions. But I mean, I love any insight into their relationship because I love how, like, complex it is. And you really don't think it would be if you're just looking at the surface. You're like, these characters are the exact same. And so the more and more glimpses we get into their relationship, like, I just love it so much because it just, like, builds it and, like, lets us as an audience know them so deeply. And I love that. But at the same time, I'm like, you're both so frustrating. I just want to strangle you. But I also love them both so much. So it's complex. But that's what makes it great.
Like a carb.
Okay.
It's complex. It's a complex carb, and that's why it's so great.
I do love all carbohydrates. Okay, so then George is back in the hospital delivering messages, and Burke, like, sees him, and he's like, no offense. And Burke's like, none taken. Just runs away. Fair hours, fair wages. I just love it. It's just so funny. It's just funny to me. Okay, Meredith, patient's daughter, shows up.
I thought she was fake, too.
What do you
I
mean
thought
she
was fake.
She was fake.
I was like, okay, so they're just making up this lesbian character, or are they trying to, like, make it sound so far-fetched that they just, like, they're trying to convince Weber to say, all right, you know what? Screw it. No one really exists. You do it.
So you
That's
thought
what I thought.
That because her husband was dead, that they were made up, that these million-year-old women made up a daughter to try and con the hospital out of keeping their friend alive?
Well, the last lady we saw was trying to lie to the hospital to con them into letting her stay longer, so I wouldn't put anything past an old white lady.
That is just not really the same thing.
Basically the same character.
No point thought they were making up that. They literally say something about how she's listed as, like, on the DNR form or whatever, as, like, the next of kin.
She could have been dead.
She could have been, but she was not in the list of dead people at the beginning of the episode.
You're right. Also, I said two different things. I said she could have been dead, but also I didn't think she was real. So I just don't know what I'm thinking anymore.
Shocking. Neither does anyone else. Okay. So then we get the pregnant Cheyenne's mom comes up. She's mad at Izzy. She's saying, like, you overstepped. You told me you would watch out for her. I left and you told her to give her kid away, which what's interesting to me is what Cheyenne has told her mother, because it's clearly not that Izzy is gone through this exact situation. It was just, it seems like she was basically like, oh, that doctor told me I should think about adoption. Which I'm like, wouldn't you have a better argument if you said that doctor is from the trailer park down the road from us? She got pregnant. She gave it up. And now look, she's a doctor. And like, that's what I want.
There needs more to be more context.
I'm like, can you just get like share all the information? But yeah, I thought that was a weird thing. But other than that, I thought it was a very good Izzy scene. I thought the way she responded, like she did apologize, but she was also like, I was just being honest. Like I was just talking to her. I didn't encourage her or suggest anything. I was just telling her my own experiences. Like she's very kind. But she's still like, again, it's kind of like Sydney, like standing up for herself, and not backing down, but not in like an annoying or Izzy way that she normally does.
Well, yeah. And that's when she says like, look, if you can get past all that stuff that you said, which is correct.
Yeah.
Can it also be simultaneously that I'm correct?
Yeah.
Which I think it's is a nice really scene. Good scene because yeah. I love, you know, talking to Gabe, you and him and me and you on Dude Thoughts. We love when we're right. And we love when the other person is wrong.
I'm
but
never
times
wrong.
Exist. Well, neither am I. But there are times it exists where both of us are right. And I think that was a really, really great scene.
Yeah, it is nice. And it's I like the way that both sides are presented throughout the whole storyline.
Also, did you notice the mom didn't yell? She was like, come on, doc.
What the
like,
hell? Yeah, like, how did you, like, I trusted you. And this is, like, yeah. What did you say to my kid?
I really appreciated that about that character.
Yeah, I just, yeah, that whole storyline was so well done. I really appreciated it. Okay, so Sydney and Alex are talking to the leg girl, telling her everything that happened. They go to leave, and that's when Sydney says to Christina, I'll take that apology anytime. And she says it like, honestly, like not even snarky or like demanding. She says it like she's still smiling and she doesn't stand there and wait for it. She just says it and walks away. And I'm like, honestly, I don't know why I remember hating you so much because this is not that bad. Like,
no, I like her.
So yeah, we'll see.
Is she going to become a staple in the show or is she just a temporary fill in for Bailey?
She's a recurring character. She's not like a main character, but she comes in and out again. She's around.
Okay. I do need you though. If I ask you, I need you to be honest with me because I need to know who I need to emotionally invest in. Okay.
Yeah. She's going to be around. Not like, again, not a main cast, but like a recurring person.
She's like Joe.
Yes. That's a good analogy. Okay. So then where am I? Oh yes. Meredith has to take Grace, the old lady, off the vent. The chief's like, oh, I can do it. And Meredith does it herself. She's like, no, it's me. Christina is upset that she was wrong. And she says, I'm not used to being wrong. And that's when Burke says, you came to me as your boyfriend. And that's how I responded. Yes.
So I want to back up just a second because I really like that scene, when she's like, I did it. I can undo it with Grace. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just want to shout out the moment where where Weber was like offering to do it for her.
Yeah. Because and I think he is seeing that she is like relating this to everything going on with her own mom.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. That's why. Okay. Perfect. We're on the same page. I just didn't want to gloss over that because I think that was important to mention.
Yeah, I agree. But she's like, I'm not used to being wrong. She wants me to apologize. And he's like, you should apologize. And, it's a good scene with Christina and Burke. And, then Meredith tells Weber, like, I saw you with my mom and they told me that you visit 2 to 3 times a week. And he says, do you want me to stop going to see her? And it's not like rude. He's like, genuinely, he's like, do you want me not to do that anymore? And she doesn't answer. She's like, I'm just going to go check on Grace. So she like does the thing and she's checking on her. And I'm going to say this like a million times again. When I was in high school and I watched this show with my best friends, like we would make CDs all the time with like LimeWire, all the very legal ways.
Naturally. And yeah.
And a lot of our like emo songs came from Grey's Anatomy, the OC, One Tree Hill, like the teen staples. And this song, Scratch, is like, it was definitely on one of them. And it just like gives me such high school flashbacks. And I knew it was this episode, even though I like don't watch this episode often. I knew it was this old lady, and I knew it was like the closet panic attack scene. And so when it finally came on, I was just like, oh, memories. Like, it's such, I love this song so much. And I kind of started realizing that there are other songs that are playing, and I have like, just, it doesn't even register, but like, because of these CDs that I like burned in high school, there are some that I like, I know when it is coming, and I am like on edge, like waiting for it. I'm like, I should really start paying attention to the rest of the music in this show, because it's probably also doing a good job.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you say that, and you've mentioned this before. So if you're listening to this for the first time and you've listened to this whole hour, first off, kudos. Thank you.
But, and also listen to all the other ones.
Yeah, but Kelsey has mentioned the emotional connection of certain songs with different moments. The interesting thing, so I love Scrubs. Everyone knows that about me. I love that show. It's in my top three favorite shows of all time. I could tell you any moment that you were to tell me right now in Scrubs, I could tell you the exact song playing, because I've internalized that the same way. The weird thing is, I have barely noticed the music in this entire show.
Right.
I don't know if it's because I'm writing notes and I'm kind of disconnected with it.
Right.
But I'm just not feeling that, either that same emotional connection or the music isn't coming through the way that I felt it in
also,
Scrubs.
Though,
I don't know.
How many times have you watched Scrubs?
Like 1,000.
Right. So that might be different for you if you're on your 1,000th Grey's rewatch. Now, what I will say is, I think not noticing it is also a testament to it, like being a good soundtrack, because when there should be music and there's not, I notice it in shows and movies and I'm like, that's a distraction. But if the music isn't distracting and taking away, but it's still there and underscoring everything, then I'm like, then it's still doing a good job. Right. If you're not a psychopath teenage girl, like stalking music to burn a CD to like pretend that you're in the middle of this very dramatic television show, like you're probably just being a normal person and like, you're not going to notice it that much, but there are always going to be songs because of like the role this show has played in my life. There's going to be songs that I'm like attached to, and it's not even necessarily like, oh, this song in this moment necessarily did something so great. I just know this song for me in my life because I like listened to it a lot driving around in my Volvo as like a 17-year-old. So I don't know. It's interesting, especially since every episode is named after a song.
Right. Which the episode doesn't always play the song. Actually,
never
I don't
has
think
yet.
They yeah, never has
up
yet.
To
oh,
this
yet.
Point.
Ooh, ominous.
I'm pretty sure it does at some point, at least once. I'm not positive, but I'm pretty confident. Okay. So while Grace is dying, obviously we have the parallel of Addison, Derek, and Izzy delivering this baby, because death and life, you know, so deep.
And so, that's a cute ass baby.
It is, but it's not a newborn. How often do
no.
you notice this now that you have a baby? Every
oh,
time
every,
they
oh,
deliver
yeah.
babies on shows, or they're like, look at my 1 week old. I'm like, that is a 6 month old baby. Like, either use a fake baby or don't show the baby. Do not show
yeah.
a 6 month old and be like, look at this baby I just birthed 5 minutes ago. You would have died.
Also, I've seen the baby fresh out of a C-section.
Yeah, it's
firsthand.
Not clean.
It is not that.
Yeah. I feel like now I will say they still are not nailing the size thing, but they nail the gross thing where I'm like, that is just covered in goo. Like, what is all over that baby? It's gross.
Look at all that amniotic fluid.
Also, when they show, not just Grace, but like any show, when they show a baby right after like vaginal delivery and the head is perfectly round, I'm like, that's not how they come out. Because they come out with a smushed triangle head because they were just shoved down a tunnel.
A triangle shaped tunnel.
Literally like a cone head child. So that's
yeah.
something else fun if you've never had a baby or seen one be born that you should know about watching them on the television. Everything's a lie.
Yeah. Also, let's jump into this next 5 minute sequence of which we both hate.
Meredith is sad. Justifiable. I think they did a great job with this storyline leading up and having us as an audience understand why Meredith is so affected by this patient. She feels guilty because of the situation with her mother. It is not necessarily her fault. Her mother has isolated herself. She didn't want anyone to know she was sick. So she is alone, other than Meredith and Ellis. And I guess sometimes Derek maybe in this clinical trial. I don't know.
You mean Meredith and Weber and Derek?
Yes. Sorry.
You said Meredith and Ellis.
Yes. Well, she does have Ellis.
Ellis has Ellis.
But yes, so she has basically a very small circle of people. And, you know, Meredith's standing there watching these three women who, like, could probably tell you absolutely everything about Grace's life and everything she's ever thought or felt or ate or looked at. And then her daughter and her daughter's wife, like, being there, loving her, like, you know, being happy that she can finally move on, but, like, still being sad and, like, going to miss her. And I think they do a great job writing this character or this arc for Meredith in this episode and why it's, like, hurting her so much, even though she does struggle with her own mom. So I understand this breakdown that she has. It makes sense. I don't mind the breakdown. I appreciate it. I think it's very vulnerable, very real, very believable. I fucking hate Derek. I hate him.
I fucking beep hate Derek.
Beep.
Yeah. I need to share what I wrote here. So
okay, please do.
So this is anyone who's ever listened to Mimi talk about this. It's typically stream of consciousness thoughts. So I said in all caps, of course Derek was right behind Meredith. Get the fuck out of here. Oh shit, I don't want my mother to die alone is what she says.
Yeah.
Not what I said, but also same, I guess. And then it's like, why does Derek save all his compassion for Meredith? No one else gets anything from him. I hope Addison walks in. And then I go, that was way too close to a kiss. And then I go, almost grazing lips. No, 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 don't do it. Okay, thank goodness.
I am very glad that Meredith did not give in to her sadness in this moment, because it would have been super easy to write it as like, oh, she's sad, so she kisses him because she wants to feel better. So I'm glad that they didn't do that. I'm glad that she is the one that gets up and walks away. I don't mind him being like, hey, focus on your breathing. Here's a bag. But like, you don't have to be a single inch away from her face. Like, you can back up. You can stand up. You can be like, how can I help you? You don't have to hold her hand or like be her pillow. But of course you are. And I just have to eye roll for like 7 hours about it because I hate it. And I get it. You're in love. But like, that's fine. If you want to be in love, be in love. But like, don't pick Addison and then fucking do this. It's all so annoying. I like cannot get over it. I do not understand why like the whole world is always on Team Derek. Like, I understand he's very attractive, right? I even wrote, I would like to punch Derek in his perfect face. His face is nice. He has a great face and great hair. But like, that does not excuse the shittiness.
Agreed. It would have been, none of this would have been a problem if he would have been like, you know what, Addison, I can't be with you. But also, Meredith, I got some shit to figure out.
Yeah. Like, go to therapy, you could have, Derek.
Yeah. First off, yeah, go to therapy. Don't adopt your ex-mistress's dog and then expect your wife, who won't eat the trout that you catch, to be okay with it. Also, in an Airstream.
Buy a house. Get out of the Airstream. You're rich. Your wife's rich. Let it just go be rich somewhere. Like, you can't be rich and attractive and then just, like, be the worst. I mean, you can, because that's, like, what he's doing. But I just can't get over it.
But get out of the Airstream.
Here's what I was thinking while I was watching this. Because, like, this show is written for you to be on Team Derek and Meredith being together. And that is the way that the writers want you to feel. Whatever. My concern is that you listening to me spew hatred for Derek incessantly has like clouded your own opinion and made you also hate him, because I'm like, most people would tell you they're Team Derek.
No, here's the thing. I was Team Derek up until the point where he treats his wife like shit. And it's not about the payback, right? The vendetta, the vindictiveness. That's fine. I don't care what you do. I understand it. But there is a point at which don't choose Addison.
Yeah.
Like, that's I think, is the biggest thing for me. I think him and I both are members of the Incredible Hair Club. Yes, both him and I are members of the Incredibly Handsome Perfect Face Club. Totally. Love it. But here's the thing. If Jessica cheated on me, that's it. We're done.
Every time you say that, it's annoying to me.
But hold on. There was more to that. What I mean by that is I'm either going to move on completely and allow myself that space to forgive my wife and raise our kid together, co-parent, and not be an asshole. But also, if I wanted to be an asshole, it's justified. Which, again, with Derek, it was justified. The second I say, you know what, Jessica, let's work this out, and then I choose to be an asshole, no. I have, there's no right. I am not in the right.
Yeah,
and Derek is also not in the right.
He's trying to have the cake and eat it too.
And I love cake.
I also love cake.
Let's get some cake.
Yeah, I might have another Little Debbie after this. I've already had so many today. Okay, so then Izzy and is with Cheyenne and she has the baby and they're talking again and being like, what should, you know. It's kind of open-ended, but it also implies that she's going to give the baby up and follow her dreams.
If you got a dream, you know.
Finish school.
Yeah. Also, when she was like, do you regret it? And Izzy was like, no.
Yeah.
I was like, savage, but true.
Yeah. Well, and it's also, it's one of the most selfless acts because it's not about what you want. It's about knowing what is best for your baby and for this entire other human life. And like, yes, Izzy then got to chase her dreams and become her surgeon dreams. But this baby is, you know, implied that we're meant to believe that she is like, has everything that she wouldn't have had had Izzy kept her as a 16-year-old. So it's another nice scene, nice storyline. And then Meredith tells Weber that she wants him to keep visiting Ellis, that it makes Ellis happy, and she wants Ellis to not be alone.
Which is great.
Yeah. Then we get the scene of Christina apologizing to Sydney, and it's funny.
She apologizes like shit.
And she's also super bad at it, and it's hilarious. And then she just leaves. And when Sydney's like, do you want to hug it out? And then she just leaves. And I just love it so much. So funny.
And then we get this little teeny tiny cut scene of Derek and Addison cuddling.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember what the context was. Figuring out where to get the money for the nurse.
Oh, yeah. He gave up his surgery robot. Oh, man.
Yeah. Maybe he just is waiting. Maybe he'll find that. Maybe he'll just save again and get the robot later. Who knows? Who's to say? We'll all find out together.
Tomorrow.
Not tomorrow. Okay, so yes, then we get Addison and Derek and the dog all in the bed together. And I just like, why? Why do you need to show me that? Because Addison looks happy because she doesn't know that her husband's a piece of shit. Which I'm like,
she knows.
But why is she accepting it? She's so much better. She's such a queen. Garbage.
If I had to guess, it's because none of this would ever have happened if she wouldn't have cheated in the first place.
Yeah, I understand that. But it's like, she is trying so hard and he is trying so
hard. Oh, yeah. No, I understand. Like, I'm team Addison. I'm on Addison's side.
Is okay. So, anyways, the dog's cute. Okay, Izzy and Meredith are laying in the bed with George, and Izzy just says, we don't know everything about each other. And Meredith said, yeah. And George says, true. And then Meredith turns out the light, and George says, anybody want to have sex? And then they laugh, and it's the end of the episode. And I just need to say, remember the way this episode ended for the beginning of the next episode.
When Izzy and George finally bang.
No, Izzy and Meredith. God.
No.
Also, I forgot to do Living in Shondaland, so we're going to
Living in Shondaland!
Sorry, I keep forgetting. I need to put it higher up.
Wait, let me guess. It's okay. Two people.
Nope.
More?
Nope.
It's only one person?
Again, yeah, it's only one again.
Okay. Hold on, I can do this. It is the girl who loses her leg.
No, but it is her husband.
Dang it, that was my second guess.
And she also didn't lose her leg.
She lost a lot of her leg. She lost part of her leg.
Yes, okay, so that man in the show, his name is Wade. In real life, his name is Kenneth Mitchell. He was in one episode of Private Practice and also, unrelated, in Captain Marvel, in the flashbacks, he is her Earth dad.
Oh, Earth dad. Nice. So fun. Nice.
So, yeah. Okay. So, what are we rating it? What's the vibe?
This episode is a resident 0.9, 3.9. Mm-hmm. Okay. It was high for me. I really liked this episode a lot.
Interesting. This is a great episode. I think it's really well done. I think it tells stories. I don't care. I love what it does. But like I said, as someone who has rewatched the show a lot, this is not high on episodes I've rewatched. I'm going to say resident 0.5 because it's just like it does what it does well. But I don't want to go, man, that was so great. I want to watch it again.
No, it's not crossing into the fellow. It's not getting into the 4+ territory, but I think it's because of how little I hated George.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The reason it got points is because I liked George and Izzy. The reason that it lost points is because I hate Derek so much.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Obviously we talked a lot about this. This is a long episode. We talked a lot about it. We have a lot of feelings, but I think it does take interesting turns on the way that it delivers new information about our fave characters to us and even some of our least fave characters. So, 3.5 for me.
Yeah. I don't have much to add. I don't have anything to add. I don't want to make any predictions for the next couple of episodes because I have a prediction already that is in the works that I think next episode is the cutoff for Izzy and George sleeping together, which I think I'm going to be right. But I want to not have any expectations. I just want to enjoy whatever train wreck is going to be thrown at me and just love it. And that's it.
I wish that you could watch it and not have to take notes. Maybe you should watch it and just watch it and then watch it and take notes. And then we'll record. Or the other way around, watch and take notes and then just watch it.
Well, FYI, I am working from home next Wednesday, so I might be able to do both back to back.
Okay. Yeah.
But Jessica really wants to be a part of that.
I want her to watch it with you as well, because I do want her to watch it with you. Also, I'm going to try really hard. I'm going to scour the internet and try and find the ad that played before this episode, because I think this may have been the highest viewership live of a Grey's episode, not total since streaming and Hulu and all that stuff. But I think this may have, this crosses into the 30s, 30 millions. So I don't really remember the way that it was advertised, but I know it. They had to be really going hard on it, because to get that amount of people, that's almost double what this episode was.
It was Star Wars Return of the Jedi. Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah,
I think that was 2006.
So I'm gonna see, and I don't know where all my DVDs are in boxes, but I have this on DVD somewhere. So I don't know. I'm going to try and find the ad for this episode. And then after you watch it, I'll play you the preview.
I would love that.
So I'm super excited. So again, if you've watched Grey's, which you probably have, if you're listening to this, I'm sure you know what we're talking about. Super excited for Carmen to experience this with all of us. So the next 2 weeks are going to be a lot of fun for everybody. So make sure you're tuning in for a lot of Carmen cursing. And
I need to buy that before next episode.
Yeah, it's going to be just a whole hour and a half of beeping. It's going to be a good time. And we're super excited. Thank you so much for listening. If you have a minute to leave us a review or a rating, we will shout you out. We'll read it on the air. Please share us. Follow us on Instagram at Grey's Academy Pod. You can email us at Grey's Academy Pod if you have thoughts, feelings, emotions, any just you're bored and you want to tell me, that's fine. And we're super excited to keep going because, like, shit's about to get really real for the rest of this season. We have 10 episodes left, and it's pretty much nonstop. So
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I'm super into it. So, yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening. And remember, especially right now,
no spoilers, no spoilies on email or social media.
And or if you see Carmen walking down the street.
Which is possible. I'm very noticeable. At this time of year, I'm sporting a pink denim jacket. And we'll see you all in the next one.